Bucks fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, the custodian of Canton, where he's headed shortly as Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself. Uncle Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is back. Lee's back, baby. Ira, we got to take a pause. Lee's back. You know, start clapping, Ira.
Not only is Lee back, but my left arm might be back. I'm scheduled to get this damn cast off, and I don't care if the guy takes an x-ray before taking the cast off, and I don't care if he says it's not healing properly. Lee, I don't care. That cast is coming off.
You're going to be ready to roll for training camp, huh?
I got to be ready to roll. I can't have Prickly Pete Prisco making fun of me. I got to have two hands to chow down on a hot dog and my drinks. Lee, I know you got a trip upcoming, but it's good to have you back today.
Thank you. I'm ready to roll.
All right, Lee's ready to roll, Ira, and everybody's ready to roll if they head to Bill Curry Ford in Tampa, a mile north of the stadium. That's Tampa's family-owned Ford dealership, 65-plus years. They've been taking care of the community in a big way, and they still are. They'll meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $500 cash. All the details at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is all fired up for football season. The JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. More important, he will help you personally, which is just a tremendous advantage when you're navigating getting a new vehicle, truck, sports car, whatever it might be. Sean Sullivan, you can find him at Bill Curry Ford or at the dealership. Construction is really coming along there, Ira, in the huge remodel of the Giant. It's going to be unbelievable. Can't wait to see it in a couple of weeks when we pop in there. Also, Sage, drink your Big Storm beer. Big Storm beer. It is beer season. It always is, but it's extra beer season when it's this hot. Big Storm Brewery, bigstormbrewery.com. You can find all the beers there. And you can also look at all the menus at the tap rooms, Odessa, Clearwater, Centro Ybor upstairs, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center, Big Storm Beer, the Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA, Wavemaker, Amber Ale, Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale. They're fantastic. So many are in the stores. There's many, many more at the tap rooms and at the website, bigstormbrewery.com. We'll check in with our friends at Florida's EliteRestoration.com later, Ira. Storm season is here, and I just feel great that we are telling people that they've got someone they can trust out there when they've got storm damage, mold, fire, wind damage, flooding. Florida's Elite Restoration is there for them 24/7, and that's just a good thing. It should be a part of everybody's disaster plan. We want to remind everybody they can catch up on their podcast listening at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Of course, they can catch up on their reading at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, Ronde Barber, your buddy, was checking in, as he sometimes does, with the 33rdteam.com. They asked him to name his top seven secondaries, and the Bucks aren't there, Mr. Ira. What do you think of that?
I think it's another indication of just how honest Ronde Barber is. And, you know, like you guys know, known him for about 25 years. Don't ask him a question if you don't want to hear an objective answer. Don't bother asking him, because his answer may not match up with your expectation. That's what makes him Ronde Barber. Nobody breaks down film like Barber. I think it was a big, big part of his success as a player. And he's very close to people in the Buck organization, obviously. They are in the process of organizing his post-induction party that Saturday night. And it's going to be one whale of a party because, you know, John Lynch a few years ago, he had Lionel Richie. Yes, Lee, Lionel Richie.
That's enough to shut that place down. And, you know, slap in the face to all sane people.
And Ronde Barber promises a bigger star than Lionel Richie. And, of course, in the words of Lee Kemper, Lee says that's a low bar, Steve. Lee, he sold a lot of records. He may not be your taste, but he sold a lot of records.
He is the most effete. Singer I've ever seen. Just, oh my God.
Steve, I want to kick this podcast off in this direction because I think there's a lot of meat on this bone. You guys are writing about it all the time. I don't blame you. Now look, I'm not saying the Bucks are going 12-5. Steve, I'm not saying that. But boy, you listen to all these people, almost to a man or a woman, they got the Bucks basically at 4-13. You guys just put out an article that you know, this ranking, and they got them getting the number two pick in the draft. This is not an elite team. I don't expect them to do much damage this year. But damn it, Steve, they still got six or seven really good players. Maybe more. You can't tell me they're not better than the Chicago Bears. The Cardinals stink. There's some other dregs out there. And Indy's not very good. Steve, why have they turned on the Bucks with a vengeance like this? Is it all Baker Mayfield?
I don't have an answer for you, but it's Baker Mayfield and it's Todd Bowles. That's one and 1A. You know, beyond that, I just think it's numbers as well, because the lazy way to do it is to say, well, they won eight with Brady. There's no way they're winning more than five with Mayfield. And so, you know, and then they pile on from there. Of course, people get excited. Oh, the number one pick is in Carolina. They've got the quarterback. But, you know, there's plenty of number one picks, including Peyton Manning, who came into the league and struggled their ass off on a bad football team. I don't know. It's over the top, in my opinion, Ira.
Lee, is it over the top for you too?
Somewhat, but I totally agree with Steve. It's Baker Mayfield 1A, and it's Bowles 1B. No one has any faith in Bowles, and they're absolutely reviled about Baker Mayfield, especially the stat geeks. The stat geeks and the gamblers, which are sort of like brother, sister, or maybe cousins, they just are just appalled at Mayfield. And I'll throw some stats at you, Ira. Mayfield, even last year when his passing numbers were better with the Rams, he was an absolute sack artist. And these are some stats that Warren Sharp dug up, the handicapper turned stat geek, the last 3 years. And this also emphasizes how critical it is for Joe Tryon Shoyanka to show up this year. In the last 3 years, when a quarterback was not sacked, of those drives, 42% scored points, 33% reached the red zone, 31% punted. Those are NFL offensive drives the last 3 years when a quarterback has not been sacked. Meanwhile, when in offensive drives in the NFL the last 3 years, when a quarterback has been sacked, 50% of those drives ended in a punt, 22% of those drives had points scored, 20% ended in the red zone. So given Mayfield's
susceptibility to the sack, yeah.
I just thought of the word penchant. Given Mayfield's penchant for sacks, and he's not really that accurate of a quarterback, I can sort of understand why the stat geeks are going bananas about the Bucks really, really stinking this year.
That's a hell of a breakdown, Lee. And, Steve, you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about sacks, and I made the point, you know, a lot of coach speak, they say, well, let's not go crazy about sacks. It's about pressures. What kind of pressure percentage get the quarterback off the spot? And, Steve, I made the point, well, here's the difference. Sacks are drive killers. Yes. Sacks are drive, or they should be. Lee, they should be. You just backed it up. And you're right. While nobody expects Mayfield to approach Brady's incredible knack for avoiding sacks. Nobody expects that. That's unreasonable. Brady's among the best that's ever done it in that regard. By the way, I thought it was to his detriment last year, because I think he took it a little bit over the top about getting rid of the ball so quickly. But his history shows he's very tough to put on the ground. And Lee, Mayfield is not. I would say he's below average in terms of sack percentage. And Steve, that's going to be a problem this year.
Why do you think it's going to be a problem? I mean, it's a good pass-blocking O-line. I know it's got question marks, but why do you think it'll be a problem?
Because I only see two sure things, and one of the sure things is a guy coming off a severe knee injury. I see the left tackle, and I see the center, in the words of DeKemper, as guys that we're not talking about potential. They've never done it in a Buck uniform. Either Filer, Malk, Gedeke, we'll see. Filer's, you know, he's a veteran, and there's tape on him. And the guy's decent. But, Steve, all of a sudden to say this is a good pass-blocking offensive line, we don't know that, Steve. We don't know that yet.
All right. Well, hey, I had to ask the question. But, Sage, let me take you back to the reasons you're looking for here. Todd Bowles, a guy, I think his last name is pronounced Manos, Jim Manos. He was a scout for the Eagles, actually worked under Jason Light there, and then was a scout for the Saints for many years. 9 years, and then moved on to be a director of player personnel for the Bills from like 2013 to 2017. I listened to him on a podcast, and he was asked about this. exact same question, and he basically said, Bowles. And, you know, of course, the quarterback situation isn't great, but Bowles. And like everybody else, he says he likes and respects what Todd Bowles has accomplished, but Todd Bowles, you know, head coach, those two things don't go together very well and inspire confidence. And it's really something to look at. You have to wonder if the Glazers love Bowles so much that they're able to overcome all of this negative perception about his ability and his track record.
Well, Steve, the proof is, are you going to make the playoffs or not? If you don't make the playoffs, and especially if you're under 500 again, I agree with Lee. Bowles' chances of returning are almost nil.
Ira, what do you think about this? Okay, here's a little tip-off. If the Glazers have already told Bowles, don't worry, you're back for 2024, I think the following will be a telltale sign. I'm of the belief that Kyle Trask is going to have to practice so well in training camp, play so well in the controlled scrimmages against the Jets, that Bowles literally cannot take him off the field, i.e., Russell Wilson and Matt Flynn in Seattle when Wilson was a rookie. Because if they're just even, there's no way Bowles is going to start a guy with only nine pass attempts if right. His job is on the line.
Right.
If Trask is starting, barring him going crazy in August and early September in the nonsense preseason games, if Trask is starting, that tells me the Glazers have told Bowles, you're safe.
That's interesting theory, Lee. I don't necessarily buy it. I don't think that fits in the history of the Glazers. Steve, why would they do that? Because the fact remains, you know, they're one bad season away from drafting a quarterback. That's just the facts. If things don't work out, probably means the quarterback wasn't very good. And, you know, the draft looks pretty good in 24 for QB prospects. And then, you know, to prematurely, Steve, suggest that they've guaranteed Bowles a spot for 24 when there's a pretty good chance they'll have a new guy under center. I'm not buying that at all, Steve.
I just don't know why they would possibly guarantee him a job and then max out to the salary cap, which means you're playing all in to win. And if he doesn't win, then what did he do? He sucked. So it just doesn't fit. If they went rebuilding route, I could see that they might tell a head coach, hey, you know what? We're going to dump assets. We're going to start over. We're giving you this year. Don't worry about it. Just coach in the best long-term interest of the franchise. But they didn't do that. So I just can't buy into that.
One more aspect of this, and, you know, you guys are not wrong about Mayfield and Bowles. So 1A, 1B, however you want to list them. You guys are right about that. They're not picking the Bucks for a seller, division seller, because they think Lavonte Davids is too old to have a good season. That's got nothing to do with it. So you guys are right. Mayfield, Bowles, Bowles, Mayfield, however you want to list them. But Steve, I'm going to throw up another thing. And this one's a hard one to swallow. And you guys probably aren't going to be there with me. But some of these people that they don't have a horse in the race, Lee, the Warren Sharps of the world and some other people, 33rd team, they don't have any reason to be anti-Buccaneer. And Lee, when they're listing the best players at their positions in the league, you know, the Bucs aren't coming off very well, Lee. They're just not. You got Wirfs, of course. You're always going to have Wirfs. And I saw Winfield snuck into the safety spot. But, Lee, there's questions about this roster. There's legitimate questions about this roster.
Oh, sure.
To me, it starts with the O-line, running back, and pass rush. I know we'll get to them as the podcast goes on. But, Steve, I don't think people are convinced that this is a winning roster in totality.
No, they're not. But they're not also not convinced that about that in the all of the NFC South. You know, nobody's high on the Bucs, but is anybody high on any team that doesn't have a set quarterback position? So I just take it with a grain of salt. I mean, what team are people like, yeah, they're all in on this team that doesn't have a good quarterback?
Maybe the 49ers, Lee. Maybe the 49ers. Maybe.
Also, you got to remember, Purdy looked pretty sharp last year for a rookie, especially Mr. Irrelevant.
But he's coming off an injury, Lee. He is.
Yeah. Obviously, we're in the throes of list season. And I know Jeremy Fowler has his insider takes on, you know, some of the best players. And to me, his inside linebackers has no credibility. Devin White's not even the best linebacker, inside linebacker on his team. And he's got him listed, what, top 10, Steve? Or top 5?
Number 5, I think.
I put virtually, you know, that just blew his credibility for me. And I know technically it's not him. He's getting it from his contacts in the league. But what the hell are they watching?
Well, I mean, I'll be straight with you guys, as I always am. If I had one game and I need one inside linebacker, I'm choosing Devin White. It's not Levante David. He's more talented, and he's more likely to make an impact play within this defense. You know, I think that's been proven over the long term.
I'm with Lee on this one, Steve. I said it the other day. I'm with Lee. I don't see why you would rank Devin White above Levante David at this point. A year from now, Lee, hopefully that changes, because that means Devin White had a big year and the Bucs gave him a contract extension, and that could very well happen.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of White this year. I really don't. Does he want to play for the team? Doesn't sound like it. Is his head going to be in the game if he does play? I don't know what to think about the guy. I really don't. I'm being honest with you.
But that doesn't factor into your assessment of his play on the field.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well...
Was he or was he not loafing in a one-score game? Yes, he was. Is he a liability in pass coverage? Yes, he is. You can't say that about David. So I don't think he's the best linebacker. I honest to God don't.
Well, I know on the Devin White loaf, I think it's fair to say, and I've watched, you know, I go back and watch the film, and even if I didn't, it would appear on social media, somebody would have put together, here's 7, 8, 9, 10 loafs by Devin White over the last 17 games. I don't like the one loaf. I think it was disgusting, but I can't kill the guy for one loaf when it does happen. I mean, these guys are human, and I'm not seeing all these loafs. He's not on my loaf list when I see guys like Tryon Shoyinka loafing a lot and others.
Here's the question for you. When's the last time you saw Levante David get driven 20 yards downfield by a rookie?
Lee, you're never going to forget that play, Lee. You'll never forget it.
Those are still individual plays, though. They're still individual.
They all add up. Devin White has more talent than Levante David, but Levante David's a better linebacker as we speak. You can have all the talent in the world, but what do you do with it? You know, Joe Tryon has all the talent in the world to be a first-round draft pick. What's he doing with it?
Steve, speaking of JTS, I'm glad Lee keeps mentioning his name. I'm not sure that Kemper's wrong here. Now, look, the number one factor is what kind of play are they going to get from quarterback. That's always going to be number one. And I don't care who the quarterback is. That's going to be, the catalyst. But, Steve, this guy, Shoyinka, third year, he's not a bust yet, but if he gets 3 sacks this year, he's a bust. And he probably won't be back for year 4. Steve, I just sent you a column on edge rushing. Like you said, Bowles got this reputation for being very deceptive with the different looks. But it only goes so far. Lee, eventually, you got to have the players. Now, Bowles has done an amazing job, but let's look at it. Lee, in 2019, his first year here, you know, that was the Shaq Barrett year. That was the Shaq Barrett year. And the championship season, he had JPP and Barrett off the edges. And 21, he had Barrett, and JPP was hurt a lot, but he still had that. Last year, somehow, Lee, the guy comes up with 45 sacks in a year that Barrett has 3 and gets hurt. I don't know how the hell a guy does it, but if Shoyinka doesn't show anything, where is the rush off the edge with this team? I don't get it.
I know. I mean, well, I know Steve is a big Anthony Nelson fan, and I think Nelson's a nice guy coming off the bench, and yes, that's about it. He gets owned against physical teams. There was about 6 weeks ago I came across a play. Now, Steve will scream at me, that's one play. Well, it's one play here, one play there, one play there, one play there. Pretty soon it adds up to a pattern. He got destroyed in the playoff game against Dallas. He made a mistake, tried to cut in. He would have stayed outside. He would have contained Dak Prescott. He tried to go inside, got lit up. So I think Anthony Nelson's a nice, nice guy coming off the bench, and that's about his ceiling. But you're right, Ira. If they can get an edge rush, I know I've been saying this forever. If they can get an edge rush, I still think that frees up other players to do other things to make the defense even stronger. I think the defense is weaker if Todd Bowles has to use all kinds of mirrors to manufacture sacks from Devin White or from this guy or for that guy. That's not normally their responsibility.
Sage, let me throw this out there for you. And just in defense of Anthony Nelson here, I'll ask you guys a couple of questions. Is he better against the run than Triantafylopoulos?
Probably.
Yes.
And has he produced more, we're talking production, more sacks than Triantafylopoulos in each of the last two seasons? The answer is yes. Has he had more pass rush production in less snaps? The answer is yes. If we talk production, then I'm not saying Anthony Nelson's a superstar, but Triantafylopoulos sucks. And
I'll be bluntly honest with you. If Triantafylopoulos sucks, and I'm not exactly arguing that, Anthony Nelson ain't a whole lot worse or better. Like I said, I see him just get blown away against physical teams. And this might surprise some people listening, but if you do make it to the playoffs, you're probably going to play some physical teams. Just a hunch. I'm just not sold on Anthony Nelson, and I know there's no reason to be sold on JTS. So are the Bucs screwed at edge rush? Probably.
Steve, I think Nelson, I like Nelson, Steve, and I thought it was a good move to bring him back. And I think he's very good in his role.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. Yeah, he's a good backup. He's getting paid good backup money, and that's it. I mean, when he had a chance, when he filled in for Shaq Barrett a couple of times in 2020, he wasn't able to step up. Just couldn't do it. And that's a big reason why they drafted Triantafylopoulos.
You know, Lee, and I hate to say this because we love the guy. You know, look what he's been through in terms of a family tragedy. But it's very dangerous, I think, to bank a lot of your edge rush right now on Shaq Barrett. That's dangerous living right now, totally, Lee.
And I totally agree. And, you know, his tragedy, family tragedy aside, just the fact he's coming off an Achilles, that right there, that's a gamble or a reach, if you will, about him being that productive this year. I mean, I hope he is, but there's that awful word again, hope.
I can't believe I'm doing this, Ira. I can't believe it because it's not something I would normally do, and I think the guy needs to play better, and I don't like his attitude. But I got to go back to defending Devin White. You know, I really do, Ira. You know, the bottom line is he led the team in quarterback hits. He's probably the best inside linebacker blitzer in the league, which is probably why he got that ranking from his peers and executives, because when offensive coordinators, you know, have the Bucs coming up, I personally think, maybe you guys disagree, I think they game plan more and give more attention to Devin White and how he may affect the game than Levante David. And White, even with the year that he had, battling through some injuries, his father died in November. I can't pretend that didn't affect him at all. He led the Bucs tied with David in tackles. You know, led the team in quarterback hits, 16-3 over David, who doesn't blitz. And more forced fumbles, same amount of passes defensed. Can't say that he's, I just think he's better than you guys think he is. And in that Baltimore game, if he walked off the field after the loaf and said, hey, this was short week, Thursday night, I'm banged up, I dogged it on a couple of plays, and I'm embarrassed that film's out there, but I'm giving it all I had out there. You know, I think he would have gone better for him overall in the perception game.
You made a lot of good points, Steve. You did. I applaud you for that. And, Lee, I think Bowles and Light are intrigued with Devin White's ceiling because we saw it. So are we, Lee. We saw it in the championship run. We saw it. Mm-hmm. And now we're judging him by those standards, Lee, and he hasn't matched it. You know, for 2 years. I'm not giving up on White. Lee, you're not giving up on White. But, Lee, if Bowles really thought he should get the extension right now, he'd probably get it.
I agree. I'm not giving up on White, and you just said you aren't either. But guess who's giving up on Devin White? Devin White's giving up on Devin White. He played like a man possessed in the playoffs. Well, if you could do that in your third year in the NFL, you can come close to that after that as well. He's been on a downward slide. Part of the reason why I'm not big on Devin White right now is he wanted out of here. So I don't know how much he wants to be here. I don't know where his head's at. And if that's the case, give me an old fart like Levante David, who you know play after play after play is going to be there. And he's going to do his job. And he's going to be consistent. Rather than a guy who'll make a splash play, then the next play he'll get run off the field by a rookie, or, you know, have a Hall of Famer call him out for loafing. Right now, I just don't think Devin White is near the football player that Devin White thinks he is, and demanding trades and that kind of stuff.
You know, Lee, Steve brought up an interesting point the other day. Lee, he said that this ranking, you know, and look, it's only one ranking. But if they got Devin White, the fifth best inside linebacker, is 32
teams in the
league. Lee, Steve is saying, you know, when White reads this and White's agent reads this, does it kind of reinforce, you know, their stance like, hey, I'm a lot better than you think I am, and I deserve this and I deserve that? I don't think ultimately it changes the equation or the dynamic. Lee, I just don't think Devin White's got a lot of leverage here.
I'll just quote Chuck Knoll. If I need to motivate you, I'll cut you.
That goes right along with that Tomlin quote, right, Lee?
Yeah, and I agree completely with what Lee said as far as White thinks he's better than he really is. I don't like his attitude on wanting to leave the team, and I think if the leverage, Ira, is that if White really wants to leave, then I think it's in the Bucks' long-term best interest to just get rid of him and get the pick and maybe get a second-round pick and move on. You know, if he really wants to leave, what are you going to twist the guy's arm? I mean, he's won a Super Bowl here. He's been beloved. He's gotten a lot of play, you know, and it's not like they're ripping him off. He's just playing on the contract they agreed to. It's a great place to play. If he doesn't want to be here, it's, I don't know if that's the Bucks' fault.
Steve, is it realistic in any scenario that he decides not to play in 2023 at his age? Is that realistic?
No, but players do stupid things all the time. I don't know. I mean, he...
I'm Saquon Barkley.
He could just show up day one of the regular season and be like, hey, I know the offense. I'm in shape. I know the defense. I'm in shape. You guys might as well trade me. I'm going to give it my all, but I'm not the leader of this team anymore.
Yeah, he could make it uncomfortable for the organization, Lee. He could.
He wouldn't make it uncomfortable for me. You want to be here? Okay. I start making phone calls.
Yeah, it's a wacky situation. I'm really curious to see if Devin White talks, what he has to say, if he, you know, if he's even willing to address it, and, you know, who knows what he's going to say. Ira, he may be like, hey, I'm all in, but I still want to be traded.
Steve, one point that you haven't made, but you've implied it, but I agree with it.
Well, hold on there, Sage. Sit with your coffee for a second. Florida's Elite Restoration is there for every single Bucks fan 24/7 on their phone lines and at floridaselite restoration.com. This is who you call when you have that disaster at your property: flood, fire, water damage, mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. You need a company that knows what to do and is going to come out to your home and assess everything absolutely free and let you know how to proceed so you can get your insurance money and, more important, or just as important, get everything fixed properly for your most valuable asset. That is Florida's Elite Restoration. They're friends of ours. They're fantastic. Call them up and let them know you heard about them at Joe Bucks Fan or with Ira Kaufman on the podcast. And if you eventually need their services and you move forward with an agreement, they'll give you $500 back. Maybe that's cash for your deductible, or it's simply money back that you get. Floridaselite restoration.com. This is the time of year when everybody has to be on high alert and have a plan for when that disaster strikes. You know what to do so you don't get ripped off in a very corrupt insurance business, home insurance business around the country. And of course, especially here in Florida. Go ahead, Sage.
If the Bucks decide to move on from Devin White, Steve, there will be no shortage of suitors for Devin White. I'm not saying they're going to get, you know, two number ones. They're not. They may not get a number one. But, Steve, there would be a lot of interest around the league in Devin White.
Ira, I got a question for you about Devin White and potential relationships in the locker room. Now, let's say he reiterates that he wants to get traded. You've been in a lot more locker rooms than I have. Would some players tune him out? What I mean by that is, if he starts telling people what to do, would they kind of think, why should I listen to you? You don't want to be here.
I think, generally speaking, his teammates would understand the business side of football.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd begrudge Devin White unless he becomes a distraction. And he doesn't seem fully committed to the team. That's a problem. That would be a problem. But the fact that he asked for a trade, I don't think anybody would hold that against him. I don't.
I don't think so. But if he, I think if he reiterated it, it might come back at him. Especially if you know how it is, Ira. If they're not playing well and there's some sniping going on, and White starts woofing at somebody, and they're like, "Dude, you don't even want to be here." You know, I mean, it's too too easy to do that. Hey, hopefully he comes in with a great attitude, and I have a feeling that he will. I don't know how long it'll last, though. That's the scary part.
I know what you're going with that. If the losses start piling up, will he go off the rails?
I don't know, but I don't think it would shock anybody if he went off the rails. I mean, he's been sensitive even with media, you know, getting mad at some of the locals. So who knows? And that's when they were winning with Tom Brady there to keep him in check.
Lee, we always talk about our favorites in the media. There's so many guys that do a great job, the beat writers, some of the columnists nationally that we have a lot of respect for. Lee, I just want to do a shout out on our podcast to welcome a guy that's going to live in Tampa for part of the year, maybe even most of the year now. And he kept his place in Chicago. And Lee, you know the guy and you respect him. Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey's in Tampa.
Wow.
And so I expect to see him at training camp. I don't know how much he'll be here in the summer, but he's going to write quite a bit about the Bucks, I think, Lee.
For the Athletic?
Yeah. Dan Pompey for the Athletic. One of the good guys in the business.
A good guy, but I first crossed paths with him 89, 90-ish. Was right around there when he was covering the Bears beat. He works his rear end off, man. Very underrated. I think it's only because of the platforms he used to work for. But he's that good.
He's got really good contacts, Steve. Really good.
All right, Sage, I'm looking forward to you introducing me to him. Maybe we can take him out to Big Storm or to Hooters and you know set him straight and pick his brain and have some fun. That should be neat. Ira, I've got to throw this to you. We'll go out on this. I'll let Lee comment. I know you're not going to like it because I'm going to name some names here, and that's going to make you uncomfortable, Ira, but you're refreshed and recharged after coming back from New York, so I think you can take it. If not, you can hit me with your cast, but it'll be gone by the time I see you. All right, you ready for this, Ira?
Fire away, Stevie.
First, want to remind everyone, Bill Curry Ford, family tradition, mile north of the stadium, GM Sean Sullivan. He, all the things we mentioned before, he's also got $500 in a gift card for you if you order a new vehicle, concierge service. So you custom order, no deposit. It's fantastic. And he'll give you $500 just to do it. BillCurryFord.com for the details. All right, Ira, the 33rd team website, we talk about it sometimes because they've got a lot of big name contributors. For some reason, the site is not successful. It's not a lot of people read it. But they got Rondae Barber, Bill Parcells, Pauly, and all these big names. Bill Cowher, Mike Tannenbaum is the owner, the former Jets GM and ESPN guy and whatever. And they've got big name contributors now as well, a lot of writers. Vic Carucci, Paul Domowicz, Clark Judge, Barry Wilner. These are all friends of yours who are on the Hall of Fame voting panel. And they were a party, Ira, to an article that the 33rd team put out, those four Hall of Fame voters. They listed guys who they said are current players, locks for the Hall of Fame, likely Hall of Famers, and potential Hall of Famers. And Carucci, Domowicz, Clark Judge, and Barry Wilner wrote the commentary. Mike Evans was not included, Ira, and I have to just label that with two words, clown show.
I'm not going to defend these guys. They are friends of mine. A lot of them have votes in the Hall of Fame. I got to put Evans on the likely list, not the slam dunk list, if there is one, but the likely list. And Lee, you know, if his career ended today, I think it would be difficult. Not impossible, but difficult. He's got the streak. That's his thing. He's got the streak. Okay. But Lee, 1,000 yards doesn't mean what it did in 1978. And you know that, Lee. You know that. And there's more games now. It used to be 14 games, now there's 17 games. And in the future, there's going to be 18. And Lee, going forward, you know, there's, you know, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, you know, they're going to eclipse Mike Evans. That's just the way, you know, sports is. I'd put him on the likely list, Lee. I think that was a total disrespect to Evans. Lee, the guy could easily play another 3 or 4 years. Nobody'd be surprised by that. He's not 35. And I think he's going to find his way to the end zone more than he did last year, even though they're going from Brady to Mayfield. He did very little in terms of touchdowns till the Carolina game when he had three. He had nothing. He had like three touchdowns. And so he lives in the end zone. He's got 80 touchdowns. He could end up with 115. That's a big number for touchdown receptions. I would put him on the likely list. And it shows, Lee, once again, a general disrespect for the organization. I know there's four defensive players in the hall, Lee, but Simeon Rice can't get any traction. Hell of a player, Lee. Hell of a player. You mentioned Mike Allstott. They laugh at you. They laugh you out of the room. You ever bring up Allstott's name? Who? What? Are you crazy? He's got no numbers. Well, for 6 years, he was the best fullback in football. Lee, is that Mike Allstott's fault? 8 years for John Lynch. A little bit of a disrespect, Lee, and it's still going on.
Well, also notice that in this list, Steve references, and I read it too a couple weeks ago, and although I know it's early, no mention of Wirfs, and that's a little surprising because he's been so dominant. Now, I am the outlier here. I got major worries. I've got a considerable worry about Wirfs at left tackle. It almost smacks of a panic move. I was so damn good at right tackle. What are you fooling with him for? That's what it comes down to. And, of course, no Lavonte David. Lavonte David's middle name should be disrespected. I mean, it's like, but you know what? I'm gonna spin this a little bit, Ira. For our listeners, this will sound absurd. For you, I think you may think, there's a kernel of truth to this. The reason some of the Bucs players are disrespected, as you would say, is that the fact that the Bucs, up until the Brady years, have never really been a darling team in the NFL. What I mean by that is they're not a sexy team because they've never had a franchise quarterback. Franchise quarterbacks get on Monday Night Football all the time. They get on Thursday Night Football a lot. They're on the 4 p.m. window on Sunday afternoons. The Bucs have never had that glamour quarterback.
Strong point, Lee. Also, to go along with that, that would be 1A. Steve, 1B, when you look back at the arc of this franchise, 1976, inaugural season. Steve, when you look back at glory days, they're very few and far between for this franchise. 79 was a great year. They made the NFC title game in the fourth year of existence. Great. Then they stumbled around. They made the playoffs 1 year at 5-4, the strike season. They weren't a very good team. Got clobbered in the playoffs. You're out of there. Then they did nothing for 14 years. They were a lost vagabond franchise. No Monday Night Football, none of this, nothing. Coaches every 2 years change, no quarterback. Then those had the rise of the defense, Steve, in 97. And it lasted to 02, basically. And then 03 and 04 were losing years. And they bounced back in 05, 07. And then, when Brady showed up, they were relevant again. Steve, that's not a very good legacy since 1976. Compared to a lot of these teams that have been consistent winners. And I'm not necessarily saying you got to be the New England Patriots or the 49ers, but Steve, they have been irrelevant for most of their existence.
Well, Sage, I thought that snub of Evans by current Hall of Fame voters really illustrates how difficult the task is for somebody like you or any other voter. But the disrespect for Evans, I can't look that far back because the Bucs have been in the spotlight for 3 years. All I can sort of read into it is that maybe there's a disrespect for receivers who played with Brady, because I still don't understand how Wes Welker hasn't gotten any traction for the Hall of Fame. The guy put up extraordinary numbers. I mean, ridiculous. Led the league in catches for 3 years. And even when he went to Denver, when he left, he caught double-digit touchdowns and had a strong year. So 900-something catches in his career. I don't know. Maybe there's a bias against guys catching the ball from Brady. You think that's possible?
Possible, Steve. I think what also is operative here, Lee, and you may not agree with it, but the voter could ask himself, say, Mike Evans. Well, was Mike Evans ever one of the three best receivers in the National Football League? I think the answer to that is maybe a year or two. 1 or 2 years, certainly not more than that. Is he at the very, very top? Well, Lee, you could ask the same thing about Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt. You know, to me, Larry Fitzgerald has had a better career than Mike Evans, in my opinion. And so Fitzgerald's going in, and meanwhile, they got Evans listed. He can't even make honorable mention. I don't know. He's not a flashy receiver, Lee. He's not particularly fast for the position. He doesn't burst away from people. His yards after catch, Lee. But that's nitpicking. Lee, that's trying to find things that Evans doesn't do well. When you compare it to the impact he makes on games, boy, to me, he's on the cusp now, and I think in 3 years he'll be right there.
Got two words for you, Ira. I'm not disagreeing with what you said, but I got two words for you. Art Monk.
Not bad. Art Monk, a compiler.
I don't know. I don't know. I was just upset by that. You know, you take, and he's not even that old. You take Isaac Bruce's numbers of his first nine seasons, they don't even come close to Mike Evans. Not even close. So it's just really disrespectful. I don't know why, but maybe you can talk to these guys over a hot dog at the next owner's meeting. Although, actually, there you eat a little bit better than hot dogs, Ira. But, hey.
Steve, we can work. We can work. We can start with Dan Pompey in training camp. There you go. The three of us will surround the guy.
Sage, why don't you give a goodbye to your fans, and we'll be back as we drink our Big Storm beer. What do you got to say for yourself?
Guys, I look forward to saying hello to our readers and our listeners at training camp. Shake hands, exchange pleasantries. It's going to be here before you know it.